as I wake up with the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sound upon my ear. I can't help but to keep a watch towards the eastern sky, and I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I'll hear. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His face and to touch His nail-scarred hands. What a trials here below fade away when I remember His last words. He said He'd return and receive His children unto Him, and I'm longing to look upon the face of my Lord. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How I long to see His His nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What
a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. It's raining. You think that'll affect the rapture? I was watching something very interesting, a town hall meeting which was held by Alexandria Cortez. How many of you know her? The loud mouth in American Congress. And they were discussing climate change. How we should get rid of all the cows. And one lady got up, and I want you to judge this one. One lady got up and said, "Hey, we're too late. We're burned too much fossil fuels already. We're too late to stop all this global warming. We got to bomb Russia and kill everybody. We got to eat our own children because there's way too many." And I'm looking at her. Is she making a fool of that whole thing? They seem to try to quiet her down. So watch it. It's on Facebook, and you can judge for yourself if she's there to make a fool, or is she totally, completely corrupt in her brain? I don't. You make your choice on that one. I think she's making a fool, because nobody can be that foolish. And we got to eat all the children. Oh, boy, that'll be quite a chore. Anyway, today I got an interesting scripture that'll give us something to think about, because there's a lot of strange teachings going on. They go on the internet and they're, all I can see, many are offended. There's a lot of offended people. Somebody does something, then you got somebody who's offended against them. Somebody preaches a message and you got somebody that's coming against that message. What on earth is going on? Well, the Bible teaches us many shall be offended. There shall be many false prophets. A false prophet, as I preached last week, cannot harm the born-again Christian. Why not? It is because if it would be possible, the very elect would be deceived. So it says we cannot be deceived, regardless who the false prophet is. And I think most of the false prophets are the Al Gores, these guys that are out there bringing in these damnable heresies, these doctrines of demons, that we come from a blob in the ocean and that we're... I think that's what it's talking about when it's false prophets. Because, of course, we have them in the church too today, but those who are born again by the Spirit of God, they cannot really be affected that much by their false prophecies. So God wants us to make sure that the word of God is the last word. We listen to what he says through the word. Regardless what revelation somebody has, if it doesn't line up with scripture, then you put a question mark on there till you figure it out, until you see other scriptures. And we see a lot of people these days, and I've seen, heard a lot of people, we need to confess our sins one to another. Have you heard that one? I've grew up with that one. We need to confess our sins one to another. The King James Version tells us we confess our faults to one another. What does he mean by faults? Well, we'll let the Bible speak on that, and you can draw your own conclusion on what the Word of God teaches on confessing your faults. So before we get into this message today, let's rise up and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. You will open our hearts to the truth of these scriptures that we're going to have today. Help us to understand, and you'll bring revelation, Lord, so we can be set free. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. In James chapter 5, in verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. Right away, we got a word, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So what does it mean? We have religions. I grew up in a religion where you confessed your sins to the preacher. And of course, everybody else knew it after that. So who do we confess our sins to? As far as I'm concerned, I've studied scripture. And it tells us to confess our sins to Jesus. He's the only one. Unless you have a problem, then it might help you to confess to somebody, tell your sin to somebody you can trust, who will help you pray through the situation. But confessing your sins to people is a very dangerous thing because it can bring a lot of heartache and a lot of confusion in the church. In James chapter 5 in verse 13, it tells us, is any amongst you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick amongst you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I got an extra verse up there. Read it, and it'll show you what it means by confessing your faults to one another. It's so that we can, if you got a sickness, you confess that fault to one another. I know there's a lot of people today who would rather see 20 doctors then have somebody pray for them. I do not know why, but I am channeled the opposite way. I would rather pray for a year before I go to a doctor. Get somebody to pray for me. Is it a child or is it an old man? It doesn't matter to me. If they got the faith, if they got the guts to pray for my ailment, I allow them to do it. And this is what the Bible teaches us. Confess your fault. Let the person pray. And the effectual prayer will heal the sick. So how many of us have lost our confidence in prayer for the sick? It says many shall be offended. And I believe that's the problem. People pray and somebody doesn't get healed and they're offended. And that's it. Nobody prays for me. I'd rather go see the doctor, put myself under his hand. Well, that's between you and God. If you don't trust God, that's your problem. If you don't work yourself into a place of relationship with him where you can trust him, that's up to you. I know I prayed. God has healed me on many occasions already. Am I completely healed? I had a toothache yesterday. I had to use Orajel. And I think I'm getting better. Hallelujah. If it keeps hurting, we'll take care of that. Anyways, confessing your sins one to another. I want to share something with you that is very interesting. I have been introduced to a cult a couple of years ago where the members would get together and confess their sins one to another on a daily basis. And they read the word where it says not only doing it is sin, but thinking about it is sin also. So they took that and said, okay, we're going to confess our sins to one another. I think it was on a daily basis. Can you imagine the incredible tension and suppression, depression those people were under? I know some of them personally, by the grace of God. Some of them got out of that cult already. They would confess their sins, what they thought. In their minds, during the day, they would confess it to one another in a meeting out loud so everybody could hear it. Okay, here is how your thoughts work. Your thoughts are basically, they're there. But God can put a thought into your mind. And Satan puts a lot of thoughts into your mind. Many of the thoughts that are there come from Satan himself. So you can see what fun Satan had with those people, just bringing these awful thoughts and these awful, terrible, degrading thoughts into those people's minds, and they would go and confess, look at how I sinned today. One lady said, that's not my thought, Satan, that's your thought, so get out of here. How many of us understand this? That it's Satan dropping spontaneous thoughts into your mind and you then condemning yourself. So if it says confess your faults one to another, think about it. Jesus is the only one qualified to hear your sins. And then we got another scripture. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10 in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Never mind confessing them. Casting them down. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You don't go about confessing everything that comes into your mind. That's total foolishness. But people are so vulnerable. And then finally, the Lord gives them the revelation and they've wasted 20, 30 years of their life in this cesspool of deception. And it happens to a lot of people. This is the penalty of not reading the Word of God and not trusting what God says. When you're clean, you're clean. You do not confess your faults, your sins to people. You confess them to Jesus because he's the only one that you sinned against. So God wants us to understand that. And then Jesus wants us, God gave me a revelation here a couple of months ago, and he has been trying to get me to bring it out to you. And I've been bucking and bucking, Lord, Lord, these people will not understand it because it was so deep you had to pass my brain into my heart, but I'll try and give it to you. We are the children of the living God. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we became born again by the Spirit of God, we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to follow me on the next few verses here. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, above all things, have fervent love. That word charity, have fervent love amongst yourself, for love shall cover the multitude of sin. What does God mean by that? We should love one another so fervently that we cover each other's sins. We don't broadcast them. We don't confess them to one another. We cover them. We keep them down. And this is what God has been showing me over the years. Our sins aren't in God's memory anymore. They're gone when he died for them at the cross. And if you keep regurgitating them, especially to other people, then you're not doing God a favor. You're grieving the Holy Spirit that has cleansed you through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what happens when you become a Christian. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have become something else. It's not the old anymore. It's now the new. You have a new name. In heaven, we will, if we don't recognize one another here as being prophets of God, as being teachers of God, as being evangelists of God, if we don't recognize each other here on this earth, you can be sure we'll recognize us in heaven. God will give us the title that we had here on earth. I hope we're not too embarrassed when we see the title of some people by how we thought of them. Do you get what I'm saying here? It's pretty interesting. We're going to see this guy with the title. I don't know what title he has, and I am here on earth, and I always thought that guy was not much as far as God was concerned. But here, he was a giant for God. So it's going to be embarrassing. So God wants us to show something here. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. If you don't know the title of the person, don't worry about it. But at least one thing you do know. You are a Christ one. You have become a new creation. Look at what the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we know Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. I looked at that scripture. God showed it to me, and that's where the revelation came. I didn't read much here. There's not much to say. But he simply showed me what it meant. We don't see Christ in the flesh. He is the mightiest thing that ever existed. He is the creator of the universe. He is the God of heaven and earth. I don't see him as a fleshy person here walking around having the same problems I have. I see him as the great I am. But it tells us That's how we need to see each other. This, my mind can't comprehend that. But God bypassed my mind for a split second and showed me who we were in Christ. Let me tell you, it brought me down a notch or two at how I thought of my brothers and sisters. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We have been elevated to something that is beyond our comprehension. We don't know each other after the flesh anymore. We know us as God's complete, perfect, manufactured being. He made no mistake whatsoever. So next time you look at your brother and sister, think of that. He's God's perfection made so through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that'll give us a little bit time to think before we bring in an accusation or even think something evil about that person. But the question is, we're supposed to hide one another's sin. We're supposed to put them down so no. Just think about it. If your wife sins, she does something, or your husband, will you go broadcast it to somebody else? No, you will not. You'll hide it. Anyways, that's what I do. I don't broadcast my wife's shortcomings. I try not to. Sometimes it may slip out in a moment of passion. But as a rule, I try to hide it. Why? It's because I love her. I don't want people to know how she is in her bad moments. How about the rest of us? How about the brother, the sister here, the guy there? That's the way we're supposed to operate according to God's scripture. We're supposed to hide each other's problems. But if you see somebody living in sin, he calls himself a Christian. We see homosexuals today. Oh, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I have accepted Jesus. And they live together, man and man, woman and woman. What do we do with those people? The Bible has an answer for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 1. It is reported commonly there is fornication amongst you, and such fornication that is not seen so named amongst the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Oh, that might have been a good situation there as far as the man and the woman was concerned. They loved each other dearly. Oh, it was nice in the sight of God, as the homosexuals claim today. But the Bible calls it an abomination. So what do you do with that person? It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Very harsh, but straight to the point. Never mind, I love you anyway. You need my protection. No, we withdraw our prayers from them. We separate ourselves from them. You don't even talk to them because they're living a lie as they blaspheme the name of God. This is interesting. God has an answer for every problem there is. But the church today chooses to smooth everything over. No, the word of God stays the word of God. And we're not going to change it. It'll break our heads regardless how thick our heads are. So when I look at this, I think of myself, Dave, we need to stick to the word of God. We need to seek God's heart. God's heart is gentle. God's heart is pure. And he's out to make you like that. He's out to make me like that. If I have a relationship with God, I want to see him as he is so that I can become like he is. And when we follow him, when we stick to what he has in the word, then God is going to open our minds and our hearts to the truth of Himself. That's when we're going to stop doubting. There's a lot of Christians who are getting frustrated as we wait for the rapture. We can see all the garbage all around us. We can see people going totally crazy with their strange imaginations and their strange inventions. What's the antidote to that? The antidote to that, I wish the rapture would be here. I wish it would come right now. I've been crying for the rapture since I've been a Christian. And I still want it to come now. That's my greatest hope there is. But in the meantime, occupy till I come. And with occupying till He comes means to have a relationship with Jesus. Get to know His heart. Talk, communicate with Him. Pray for your kids. Pray for people. Sometimes a spontaneous thought comes into your mind about a person. It's not there for the fun of it. God put it there. Take time to pray for that person. Now, I want to give you one more story about covering a man's sin and the consequences if you don't. It's found in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 9. And it says, now Noah became a farmer, husbandman, that means a farmer. And he planted a vineyard, and he drank a little bit of wine and was drunk. He was drunk. He must have drunk pretty good to pass out completely naked. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father and with their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. I want to show you here. Noah planted a vineyard. He got drunk on the wine he was drinking, and he was naked in his tent. And his son, Ham, came in and saw the nakedness. And what did he do? He went out and broadcasted it. Very interesting. He broadcasted it. Everybody, he was laughing, I guess, at the same time. I've studied this little story, and there are some incredible teachings on what the real sin there was. You won't even want to know about it. But the Bible says, Ham saw the nakedness of his father. And he went out and he broadcasted it. And what did they do? They went in backwards, the two older sons, and covered him so nobody would see it anymore. And here's what happened, Genesis chapter 9. And Noah awoke from his wine. I guess he must have had a hangover because he didn't feel very good about his youngest son there. And he knew what his youngest son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan." Who is Canaan? Canaan is Noah's grandson. Ham is his son. Why didn't he curse Ham? Most people don't really think what happened here. He didn't curse the guy who broadcasted it. He cursed the guy's son, Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." So one was blessed. The one who covered the sin was blessed. But the one who broadcasted the sin was not he cursed, but his son was cursed. The reason why Ham wasn't cursed is because God blessed Noah and his sons. You cannot curse what God has blessed. So he cursed his grandson, Canaan, And if you know the history of the Canaanites, it'll make your head to spin. That curse had so much weight that it wiped out a whole generation of people years later. And not were they only his offspring, they were also involved in demonic offsprings. That's how bad this sin carried. So where are we today in this? Are we at peace with God when we see the sin of somebody and we know the guy is struggling? Do we broadcast it? God wants us to be compassionate. He wants us to pray for the person instead of getting on Facebook, instead of getting on YouTube and writing out the whole horrible whatever you think is wrong with that person. When I look at those guys and I can imagine getting up into heaven and God showing the credentials of the ones they criticized, it's going to be a day of judgment. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ. We know for a fact that each and every one of us will have to appear before that judgment seat. And God is going to want an account that will determine what crown we're going to wear in heaven. So what can we do? We can have a relationship with God. We can love one another as much as possible is. Keep our mouth shut and work it out with God. Instead of criticizing, the best thing to do is criticize that person to God. I did a very interesting thing when my kids didn't behave. I didn't go there with a stick and say, okay, that's the last time, especially after they were 15 years of age. I took their names before God, and I said, God, they're your kids. I brought them up to this point. Now, dear, your problem. You deal with them. And you're going to have to deal with them because I've prayed for them up till now. Now it's your responsibility. He was in charge anyway all the time, but I put them back to him. And whatever you choose, I will accept. And let me tell you, it was worth it. Hallelujah. So open your heart to this. Become a blessing to yourself, to your families, and to those around you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I may have moments of unbelief, but I don't let it worry me. It's just a feeling that comes and goes. My head may doubt, but my heart knows. My heart knows Jesus loves me and washed my sins away. Doubt what we believe, but we know better. We have God's word. It's in safe and sure. My heart knows Jesus loves me and washed my sins away. I know He will keep me the truth.